Welcome back to Canucks Talk. Josh Lee-Wolf, Thomas Trantz here with you. You can text in on the 650-650 Dunbar Lumber text line. We are coming to you live from the Kintech studio. I like this rejoinder music, Tom. Good pick. We go to the phone lines now. Former NHLer Landon Ferraro, regular on the station, joins us. Appreciate you taking the time, Landon. How are you?
Doing pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. Just getting ready for a potential playoff preview tonight at Rogers Arena between the Jets and the Canucks. What do you want to see from the Canucks tonight after that 3-1 loss to Utah on Sunday?
I think I just want to see a bit more directness. And Rick Tocchet was talking about it a little bit in his scrum today of, like not bringing pucks back. With this Canuck team, you can almost see when they're a little more, I don't want to say dialed in because it's not like they're out of it the other games, but like they have a full understanding of this is how we have to play. Like we have to go north. Everything moves that way. And I know it was the Blackhawks and everything, but at the same time, like they didn't bring any pucks back. And then the only time they got into some trouble was the couple times they'd circle back and try and regroup and slow the game down. So tonight against a team in Winnipeg that's big and they can skate and they really exposed the Canucks through the middle last time, just be skating, be north, everything north. Don't give them a chance for an easy turnover in a transition game. Like the Jets are going to be all over that. So just take care of the puck and be north. I think that's going to be the best, best way to get a good result tonight.
Rick Tocchet spoke to Halford and Brough this morning, and one of the quotes that's kind of making the rounds is one about playing more north, specifically in regards to Elias Pettersson and how he's kind of fallen into playing regroup hockey and maybe playing a little, trying to slow the game down a little bit too much. Obviously, lately, he has 7 points in his last six games. Things seem to be trending in the right direction. Do you see more of that North-style game from Pettersson lately?
For sure I do. And I think even more important for him is once he gets into the offensive zone, like, they've transported it through. And for the most part, I feel like he has been, a bit more north and not trying to bring it back unless he absolutely has to. But they're now gaining with some entries. And before you'd see him, as soon as he crossed the line, he was already looking to move the puck and, kind of get it out of my hands at this point. And now, you see him stick handling a bit more. You see him inviting some of that pressure that turns into a hit where, he can turn at the last second, kind of use the momentum to off that hit to get into his next spot. And, he's just being a lot more involved. But again, the goal two games ago, from in the slot there, he knocks that out of midair from Hoglander's pass from the sideboards. But as soon as he knocks it down, then he toe drags and picks his corner. You can see, he just seems a bit more free again. And now, his natural instincts are being able to take over. When you're pressing and you're stressed, you're now making every decision through an actual thought process and decision, and it takes too long. But he seems to be a bit more confident, and those plays are happening a bit quicker, and now he's actually kind of directing play a little bit more, and I do see a lot of good signs for him, especially after how tough it has been.
Landon, the idea of reprogramming, there seems to be some reaction among sort of fans in this market as if the best players in the league don't have stuff to learn. When Tocchet describes Pettersson being a guy whose natural inclination is to try and slow the game down and play regroup hockey, what does that mean to you, and sort of how does it manifest in terms of what you see game to game?
Well, it's tough because it's one of those situations where, with him in particular, you have such a high skill set and you see the game really well. So when things aren't going your way, it's really easy to fall back into, I just kind of need to slow it down. Then I'll be able to see everything a little better. I'll be able to make those plays because now it's a little bit easier because I'm not moving at a fast pace. But what ends up actually happening is you slow down, but the rest of the game doesn't. So all of a sudden you think it's going to be an easier look because you're standing still and you should be able to make it, but those lanes close off really quick. Like, there's it's no surprise that when he moves his feet, the game opens up, and that's for everyone. The more that you move, well, now the defensive team has to move again to try and guard what you're trying to do. And the more movement there is, more lanes open up, and there's opportunities for the other team to make the wrong reads, and things pop that way. But again, especially with the better guys, like the more skilled players, like it's hard to kind of kickstart that again of, you just need to move. You need to get yourself into the play again. And once they finally do it and it clicks, you can see how quick they turn the corner again because they see the results, and now they want to chase that again because they kind of see that path.
One thing I often wonder, especially when you're talking about a team like Vancouver, a team that's, had sort of disparate results year over year, right, is how much did the positive reinforcement of having success last season contribute to this team materially getting better in the second half? And how much did that lack of sort of positive good feeling that was kind of that this club has just struggled so mightily to sustain this year maybe contribute to the doldrums extending for a long period of time and really sort of sharpening, I think, post Four Nations faceoff as they've gone kind of 500 and played pretty uninspired hockey most nights?
Yeah, I mean, at the first start or the first part of that question, like, when your team is playing they're playing good and you kind of get on a roll, like, it's really easy for, I shouldn't say it's really easy, but it is easier for players that are coming into that group or the young players that are getting called up to kind of just fall in line because you see the example right in front of you and you're like, well, it's working. So, like, I'll just jump in and try and emulate what's kind of going on and bring what I can. But when it starts going the other way, and, we've talked about this a decent amount this year, but for this group, like, again, like, I just keep going back to, there hasn't been, many days or, even a string of a week or two put together of just easy, good hockey with results where they can kind of just go to the rink and it's not constant questions about, lack of scoring or, whatever it may be that night that they're having to answer questions to. Like, it's just, it is mentally exhausting. And, you get to this point of the year, now they're in an absolute battle just trying to get in. Like, there's no mental break for you. And that's not giving them an excuse. But again, like, I say this every once in a while, but, like, it doesn't matter your line of work. If you're going in really stressed and not knowing how the day's going to go because it's been kind of back and forth, like, it's really hard to have your best effort put in because your mind is constantly being pulled in different directions and you're having to kind of refocus yourself. Like, it's all a lot of work. And for this team, like, I give it to them, give them some props in some sense, because even with all of that going on, so many new players coming in, like, they've put together some decent games, but then it goes back the other way. And then I think a lot of it is just, there has that standard that was set last year that, multiple players were upholding and everyone else had to get to. Like, those guys have had some struggles this year. Even, even with Quinn, who's having, an unbelievable year, has missed time. So now he's not in the dressing room. Like, there's been so many different things this team has had to deal with.
You mentioned the lack of scoring. How mentally taxing is that specifically for a player when you're going into a game and you're like, okay, I know that we can't let in more than three goals because we haven't been scoring more than two in a game. Like, how exhausting is that? How much does that weigh on a player?
Oh, quite a bit. And then especially if that player is supposed to be a goal scorer, just go ahead and talk about it. But, like, for Brock Besser, he's going through it right now. It's been a really tough stretch since the JT Miller trade for him. And, they've been balancing him around, trying to find guys to play with and all of this. But, for a guy like that, like, he's not unaware to the fact that, like, his number one job to be producing and help the Canucks win is literally it's scoring goals. You know, he doesn't go on the penalty kill. So like there's guys where when they hit a slump and they're not scoring goals, like they can find other ways to help the team. And for Besser right now, like it's really tough. And there's no way that, you know, you see him talking to the media scrum this morning and like, you can feel he believes all his answers and he's saying the right things. But at the end of the day, like, you know, there's no way he's not going into every shift thinking like, God, I hope I get a good chance this one. And it just turns into a lot of like, you know, I hope there's something there. Like, I hope I can get to the right spot. I hope the puck comes to me when I get there. Like, there's just no confidence in it. And when you're looking around at your team, and again, like you just said, it's tough and they can't let goals in. So, you know, on normal years or even last year, like you could blow the zone a little bit earlier because you had such a good read of your defensive zone and where your pressure points are. So when there is a bit of a bobbled puck and you're the, you know, you're the offside winger, you could kind of start blowing the zone because you knew that there was the safety nets and they knew where the next play was going. Well, this year it's been a little tougher and there's been a lot of different players in and out of the lineup. And so now you're playing D zone. And when you see that chance, you're a little more hesitant. So you sit back. Well, now you're a step behind going for the puck ahead. Like, again, you're thinking about so much more than just when your team's rolling. It's amazing how when your team's on a roll, you can kind of turn your brain off and autopilot kind of just takes over. And it's one shift after another, line after line. And they're all working towards the same thing. But when it flips to the other side, you're not scoring. Well, now guys are taking, you know, getting a little nervous in different spots because you don't want to leave the zone too early. Or on the offensive side, you squeeze a little too much. Like, again, it's so much mental that goes into it.
Landon, Kevin Lankinen set to make his 42nd start of the season. That'll be a new career high by 5 starts over what he did in his very first NHL season back in 2020-2021 with the Chicago Blackhawks. 887 save percentage at 5-on-5 since the Four Nations faceoff, and it's going to be his 10th start across the last 25 days in that span. Looks like Demko is going to come on this road trip, so reinforcements may be coming, but is there any concern for you about Lankinen's usage here and maybe some seams beginning to show in his performance?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think you also have to look at the fact of, you know, so he's at the 42 starts, and you know, if you look at those and other guys that have played that amount in the league, like,
yeah, facing fewer like shots.
Their workload is a little bit less. Mm-hmm. And for him, you know, especially early in the year, you know, really especially early in the year when he first, you know, he gets on that run of all the road games in a row, but like his workload has been very high. So like, it's understandable to me where, you know, more recently, even just some shots from the outside on, you know, like I'd say an odd man rush against like a 3-on-2, but yeah, the back checker, like it's kind of an easier shot and it's bouncing off them every once in a while now. Like things aren't sticking like they were, but I mean, it makes total sense. It's like you said, it's a new career high for him in games. But not only that, like the workload on top of it, like he has to be tired and it's understandable, but at the same time, they don't really have an option right now. Like Seelovs was, you know, was fine in the game against Chicago, but you know, you're trying to make the playoffs. Like he's going to have to take, you know, the lion's share of the games here. But at the end of the day, it's what's done in front of him that can help him try and get back to, you know, I don't want to say that, you know, he's playing bad, but like get back to where like he was dominating the net, but he needs some help in front and it needs to be a little more consistent in the sense of, you know, like you watch Hellebuck and the Jets, like for the most part, his chances against are all kind of the same. So he knows where there's like when there's going to be a breakdown, he kind of has a decent idea of where his team's trouble spots are. And I think that makes it a little bit easier. But in Lankinen's case and the Canucks, like, you know, it's tough with the consistency. Like one game, they'll completely shut it down and he gets to see every shot coming in. And then the next game starts and there's six shots in the first 3 minutes with heavy screens in front. So, you know, it's tough. Like, you're going to have to manage it, but at the same time, you know, what can you really manage? Like, you know, Silovs hasn't shown that, you know, he can be counted on, you know, night in and night out in a backup role as of this year. So, you know, it kind of is what it is. Like, Lankin is just going to have to roll it out until Demko is maybe back here.
Yeah, and I think pointing out the layered traffic, the shots through traffic, some of the deflections, I would say that that's been what I've noticed anyway most in terms of maybe a little bit of fatigue setting in, maybe a little bit more vulnerable off those types of shots. Now, those are always extremely dangerous shots, especially, you know, if the deflection is as deft as, for example, it was on some of those goals against, like, the Seattle Kraken, that the Seattle Kraken were able to score. But it's a matchup that I'm going to be paying attention to tonight anyway, especially because of Gabe Vilardi on the other side, right? I mean, that's as good a net front guy as we've got in this league, like sort of a Thomas Holmstrom reimagined in for the new NHL. So it's just something that I've been thinking about going into this game. Do you think that's the sort of thing that can, you know, not fall by the wayside, but become a larger vulnerability than it was earlier in the year as a result of a workload for a goalie?
I think it can definitely creep up more as the year goes on. Like, it's no different for a forward or a D that, you know, has had to play way bigger minutes than they're used to. And, you know, they're doing it for a 5-game stretch. Like, we saw it with the Canucks, you know, as they were dealing with injuries and moving stuff around. And, like, it's hard for a forward to do that. Now you're talking about a goaltender that, you know, there's no safety net behind you now. Like, if you make a mistake in the offensive zone, you got a decent chance that the other four guys on your team that are on the ice are going to bail you out. But for the goaltender, it's, you know, you're the last line. So as he gets a little more tired, which again is completely understandable with his work rate this year, it's again, like, it falls on the defenseman, it falls on the forwards to help kind of patch those things up and just buy him a little bit of reprieve here so we can get, you know, his mentally a little clearer again. But on top of that, like, let his body get through, not have to make, you know, seven really hard side-to-side saves a game. You know, if you can keep it to half ice and let him just kind of worry about that, like, just loosening his load, that little amount can help, you know, a great deal.
Where's your confidence level at with this defensive group right now? Obviously, the top four kind of set in stone with Hughes Hronek, Marcus Pedersen, and Tyler Myers, but it feels like they kind of have a good mix of rotating on the third pair right now. Elias Pedersen getting back in for Victor Mancini tonight. Derek Forbert, obviously, a mainstay there. What have you thought of the defense as a whole?
You know, I've really liked what they've done with the D this year. And, you know, I think it's a really, you know, a really good bright spot considering the year, especially of, you know, like you said, like, you know, you knew Hughes and Hronek were, you know, they work extremely well together, but you bring in Marcus Pedersen, it gives you another really good size defenseman that's good with his stick. And all of a sudden you pair him with, you know, another massive player in Tyler Myers. Like, that's a really hard pairing to get around. And then, like you said, like, you know, Forbert, you know, you have to remember too, like, he missed essentially the first half of the year, and his game, I feel, has been coming on. And it's, you know, I really enjoy watching him because it's, you know, especially on the PK when the puck's moving around and it gets to his side, like, he understands his angles so well that, like, he doesn't get the happy feet while trying to make a block because he's unsure of it. Like, you watch some other defensemen around the league, not just the Canucks, and you'll see them start to almost, they get nervous that they're standing there too long and they start moving just that little bit and it opens up the shooting lane. Forbert's so good with his angles. He's able to see it and he just stops dead in the tracks and he takes it in the shin pads and they move along. And then, you know, you throw in the two young guys there, and, you know, Mancini has done a really good job. He skates really well. He's strong in the corners. He reads plays well. And the thing I like with him is, and I don't think many young defensemen, you know, are able to do this, is the fact that when he does make a wrong read or, you know, bobbles a puck or whatever it may be, like, he realizes it really quick. And because he's a good skater, he's able to get back into position and recover. So, you know, like his hockey IQ is there and it has shown some promise. But, you know, like Elias Pettersson, I think has been a huge, huge thing for the Canucks this year since he's been up, and he's going to be back in the lineup tonight. Like, he plays hard. He finishes checks. I mean, he takes the elbow from Zari after just a beautiful step-up hit on Kadri. Like, that is textbook. He does so well of, you know, blocking things off in the corner as well. So, again, like, you have some veterans that have, you know, clearly already proven what they can do in the league, but now you have two young guys that are kind of rotating in and out and really showing their worth and what they can do. And it's just making things, you know, easier for management moving into next year as well of decisions on the back end, because you have these young kids that have pushed their way, not into the discussion, but of to being undeniable of being on the team next year.
Hey, Landon, really appreciate you taking the time, and enjoy the game tonight.
Yeah, have a good one, guys.
There is Landon Ferraro, former NHLer and regular here on Sportsnet 650. We'll get more into the game as the show goes on. We'll also hear the comments from Rick Tocchet speaking to media following morning skate. And we do have a special Sportsnet 650 announcement later in the show as well.
Let's go.
Get pumped. We'll do that at 1:30, but a lot more to get to as well. It is Canucks Talk. Josh Elliott, Wolf Thomas Strand, Sportsnet 650. Welcome back to Canucks Talk. Josh Elliott, Wolf Thomas Strantz here with you. This hour of Canucks Talk brought to you by Rack Steel. Rack Steel has the expertise to get you operating faster with forklifts and pallet racking in stock. Visit them online at racksteel.com. I feel, am I yelling? I'm definitely yelling. Had to yell over the music there. 650, 650, Dunbar Lumber Text Line, Metro Vancouver's trusted choice for contractors and reno warriors. For over 50 years, visit them at one of their three locations to serve you or online at DunbarLumber.com. We're going to hear from Rick Tocchet shortly, so get your texts in and we'll try to hit some as the show goes on. You really love this song, hey, Dom? This is a very Dom song. I just 100% know he picked it.
I wanted so badly for Josh to do the Rack Steel read in a German accent.
I can't do accents.
And Rack Steel?
Yeah. Debuting them on air would just tank my reputation.
The key is just to go in it with it confidently. Even if you can't do accents. I can't do accents.
Well, you were confident. Yeah, and it worked out.
This hour of Canucks Talk brought to you by Rack Steel.
Yeah.
Rack Steel has the expertise to get you operating faster for the forklifts and pallet rocking stock.
Yeah.
Visit them online at racksteel.com.
That was so much better than what I would have done. There we go.
That was really good.
Okay. We do have to fade out the music, though, because we have to play Rick Tocchet, assumingly from the same computer, Dom. I'm sorry. Okay, all right.
By the way, we haven't touched on the big international hockey news of the day, and we should quickly do so.
The future NHL-KHL games?
Yeah, or maybe best-on-best Russian versus American, some sort of retro summit series.
Yeah.
But
this time...
I just want to say, I support two inferior hockey nations designing an international tournament that they might actually win. I support that.
Good for them.
Will there be tariffs involved?
I think we can call it the Silver Summit Series.
Silver Summit Series?
Yeah.
Two nations,
not the best, going at it without the country that we know will beat us both.
Second and maybe third.
It's like Revenge of the Nerds. Like, you just have like the two uncool groups sticking together.
That's not what I remember from Revenge of the Nerds.
Well, just the title.
Basically, if you're out of the loop, to the two heads of countries.
Just the title.
The two heads of countries have been talking about having games played.
Playing hockey games.
That they might actually
The presidents
win.
Or the hockey
Literally
federation?
Literally Putin and Trump.
Yeah, Putin and Trump.
Putin suggested to Trump today on a lengthy call between the Kremlin and the White House that Russian players should play American players for some sort of like, you know, diplomatic defrosting, a detente hockey series between Americans and Russian players.
Because right now there's tension, apparently.
And I think that's awesome. And I think it's awesome for them to compete for second place.
Yeah,
I think that's cool.
Good for them.
Why try to beat the best when you could just not invite them?
Do you guys remember Semi-Pro?
Yes,
of course. Movie?
Yep.
Remember at the end of that movie, they played for a fake trophy?
That's what this is.
That's what this is.
Yeah.
A bunch of the not best hockey nations facing off.
The Mega Bowl.
The Mega Bowl.
Do you think the four nations face off and being excluded from it really bugged Putin? Seems like it might
I feel like it definitely has. Like, and like the Olympics, they're not going to be there.
Let's just have two nations face off.
Yeah.
Without the best of the four.
Yeah. Good Everyone luck. Wants that.
Yeah.
650-650, Dunbar Lumber text line. Keep the text coming in.
In the Kremlin, they're deathly afraid of Brandon Hagel. That's all I'm telling you. Know that for a fact.
I did. Was it your tweet today that had six Brandon Hagels?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, because about Canadian, every Olympic team is scheduled to announce six players for their rosters for the upcoming Olympics. They'll announce it in June.
Yeah.
And just six Brandon Hagels. It's probably fine.
Brandon Hagel's going to be named to the team six times. I think that's really exciting.
Good. He deserves it.
Yep.
Love Brandon Hagel. It is Canucks Talk. Josh Elliott, Wolf, Thomas Drantz here with you. Let's hear from Rick Tocchet. He spoke today, obviously, to Halford and Brough, but also.
I'm a huge dog lover.
Yep. That's what he said to Halford and Brough, but also to media following morning's game.
Yeah, it was incredible. It was at 800,000 last year. That's an incredible number. Obviously, like I said, the short time I've been here, like the charity events I've been to, the money that people donate is incredible in the city. It's probably the cities I've been in, one of the top. So it's a great thing, and hopefully there's a lot of money donated tonight.
Do you have an update on Hedl?
Not right now. It's like I said, he felt a little bit better yesterday. I haven't talked to him today. I was on the ice, had a bunch of meetings, but we'll find out later today.
And no Garland at morning six?
Yeah, Garz is banged up. He'll be a game timer. He's been playing with a lot of stuff, and he's a game time decision.
Shot block the other night have an impact? It looked like it was pretty bad in the moment, even though he stayed in the game.
Say that again. Sorry.
For Garland, when you blocked the shot.
Well, a bunch of stuff he's been dealing with, and he's just he's a guy he just wants to play all the time. So we're gonna have to. Hopefully this happens after the 6 hours, but we gotta make a good decision with him.
With Hedl, you mentioned you saw him yesterday. Is he still experiencing symptoms?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, I know whether I say a lot or little, it's hard for me. He's had them before, so we got to make sure we treat this properly.
And with Brock, no goals in 12. Obviously, only 2 and 20. You've got him back with Petey tonight. He even just told us that he's so hard on himself. From a coaching perspective, how can you help them in that regard, the mental side of it, not to be
Spend a lot of time with the coaches. It's more of a mental thing. Brock's a reactor, and he's waiting. If you even watch in the power play, he's just kind of waiting around. He's got to be. If he even makes the wrong read, I'll take it right now because he's just kind of like in a state of mind where he's just kind of waiting. And I think he's got to almost just attack whatever he does, whether you're the second man on the forecheck or whether you're slot guy, attack. And I think that will help. His pace has to get a little higher. That will help him in all aspects of his game.
You've talked about how you need him, and we know what he did last year, especially in the postseason. This is a guy that, if you get in, you could dial it back to what he did last year and how valuable he can be.
Yeah, he's done in the past. He gets hot. A kid like him getting hot is huge for us. I got to get him, try to put him with a hard-working last game. We got, him and Petey got to figure something out here and get some offense for us together. So I think – by them driving play will really help our team.
I think you were traded 3 times in your career, and then you were UFA when you went back to Philly. Did that weigh on you that year? I'm just thinking of Brock and the status. Did you know you were going to go to Philly, back to Philly, or you didn't really know where your career was going at that point?
Yeah, I think it affects certain guys. It's easy for me to say now, being as old as I am, that did affect me. But I think you just got to think short term. You got to just think of game to game. Day off, what do you do? Like, you can't think of stuff that you can't control at this point. We don't know what's going to happen 3 months from now, so why worry about it now? And if it affects your play, you got to be mentally strong to figure things out and just take moment to moment. That's really the only advice I can give a player.
You talk about Petey and Brock generating more offense. How much of that is about Petey winning more faceoffs? Because he has been doing that.
that's big. You know, obviously starting with the puck. And when you get the puck off a draw, you know, and we can get the puck to Brock in these situations, that's where, you know, we got to get him some chances. But starting with the puck is obviously a big part of it instead of chasing it.
Would he be doing a better job of that?
Yes, yes. Yeah, but the only thing in power play, we got to start winning draws in the power play, though. I don't think we have been as great. That really helps you. It adds 30 more seconds to your power play.
When you talk to Footy about defending against the Jets, and of course the prize for being second wild card spot is you would draw him in the postseason, how do you defend Connor, who's so strong coming off the wall, had the hat trick against you guys last time?
Well, we last time we Winnipeg, we had no energy, and they attacked the middle, and we had, I mean, well, you got to take the middle away. And I think Connor, you know, that was it, 6 minutes, he had three goals. I mean, he just got, every goal was him skating through the middle of the ice. You got to take that away against a Winnipeg Jet team. They're good in every facet of the game, so you have to take the middle away.
When you look at Demko, he was out there again with you guys today.
Yeah.
Is there a plan moving forward? Is he going to travel with you guys? Is there a chance he plays on the trip?
He'll travel, but him getting the net the full, I know it's only a morning skate, but for him to get the full net is a big step for us to see where he'll be at here in 2-3 days.
Rick, good. DPD draw back in tonight?
Yeah. Yeah. Going to get PD Junior in. I don't like young guys sitting out that long. And I think it's got not an indictment against Mance. I think it's okay to rotate those guys, get some fresh energy in there.
If Linus Karlsson.
I like Sinet, yeah, yeah.
If Linus Karlsson goes in tonight, what does he bring to your lineup? What can he do to help out?
Well, I think he's got a lot of confidence right now. Down the mire, scoring a lot of goals. He scored a game winner the other night. You know, we had an offensive review of last game, and we need people to get the net. There's opportunities to get there. He's a guy not afraid to get the net, so that's why we called him up. You know, he's a guy that can get to the net for us and get in front of. You know, Hellebuyck's one of the best goalie in the league. If you don't get in front of him, you know, you're almost impossible to score. So we need guys like. You know, not just Carly, but we have to have that attitude. We got to take his eyes away.
Size matter too this time of year, time and space, a bit more edgy. Guys like Amon, guys like Karlsson are bigger, maybe.
I think in the last 6 weeks of his season, everything's ramped up, and battles usually win hockey games. You know, and I think guys that are willing to go into battles and winning battles could tilt the ice for you.
So will Demko travel, just even if it's just a practice?
He's a six-game road trip, so, you know, he'll be with us. And yeah, for sure. Is it six games? Six-game road trip, right? Yeah.
Patrick described you guys this morning as being in a building phase. What does that mean to you?
Well, for me, we got a lot. This year, if you look at the transition of the year, a lot of new guys. We've got some young guys in the lineup. To me, it's a big thing is what is it to be a Canuck? How you train, how you do all, and we're starting that this year. You shouldn't start this year. You started last year. My point is, when you have new guys like Pettersson, Jr., Mancini, O'Connor, these guys, new guys are here. When you come to the rink, this is how we're supposed to do things, and we're trying to build on that, and that's a big part of it. And playing these important games is huge for the development of these guys, you know, pressure and all that sort of stuff. So we'll see how we handle it this next month.
For Petey and Brock to find some chemistry together, what do you look at as some of the key principles for them to execute on? Where you look at, they do this, they'll have some success.
Well, I think they are guilty of sometimes of waiting. Don't wait. You got to go. You know, if Winnipeg's got a two press and we get the puck to you, that's two less guys. You guys got to go. Don't take the puck back. I think those two guys are guilty of getting the puck and giving it back to our defenseman. We want to go forward, play north, play fast right off the bat. If they do that early on, I think it's a psychology thing for them that they get in the game quicker. So for those two guys, play north. That's the one thing for them to get back in their game.
Mancini comes up.
Mance, yeah.
Will Junior be playing on his offside then?
Not all the time, no. We'd rather have him on his forehand. We'll have the other veteran guys play the right side.
So Forbert will be on the right side,
yeah,
most likely.
Yeah, he's a veteran guy. He can handle that.
There is Rick Tocchet speaking to media today following morning skate at Rogers Arena and doubling down on the, you know, you got to play north for Elias Pettersson that he mentioned with Halford and Brough on Halford and Brough this morning, and also throwing Besser in that conversation as well. Just playing with more pace and playing more of a North style And that'll result in points and them playing better.
So I think the main takeaway for me from that is just the Demko's going to travel, but it doesn't sound like he's going to be an option on this upcoming six-game road trip.
So he was asked specifically if he would travel only if it's just for practice, and he didn't say yes or no, right?
I thought reading between the lines there that he was certainly not committing to Demko being back for six games, and I would imply that it might be a little bit longer than that. He noted that Demko had sort of made it through the full practice today, which was a step. So this would be what? Do we consider a game day skate a full practice? Probably not. Team's probably not going to have a ton of practice given how condensed their schedule is here for a bit. Maybe they practice and fly tomorrow. I could see that. Maybe I would assume that they'll practice in Manhattan on the Friday.
Mm-hmm.
But
It's also an early game on Saturday,
which is why you'd practice on the Friday,
right?
So that because you're not going to skate,
okay?
Right, so you'd practice on the Friday, not skate. Probably take the Sunday off, and then morning skate Monday. Depending on performance, practice the Tuesday, but probably practice the Tuesday because you're not flying, right? Like it's convenient to have practices when you're in New York for the most part, because it's not like you're landing in some, you know, far flung Midwestern town at 2 a.m. Far-flung Midwestern town.
Yeah, St. Louis?
St. Louis is pretty far-flung to me, man.
Yeah.
No directs, that's why. So, look, if you're looking at Lankin and starting every game on this road trip, then you're going to get to a point where he will have played 16-36 by the time you get to Winnipeg on March 30th. That's a lot of hockey, man.
Yeah,
that's a lot of hockey for a goaltender who's not been a starter in his career.
But is there, like, I don't see any comfortable spot to start Artur Shilov.
I think the Islanders is the closest you get, but that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, Columbus is one of the highest octane offensive teams going. The St. Louis Blues are scoring in bunches.
And that's a game you need to win, too.
The Rangers, yeah, exactly. The Blues is absolutely not. The Rangers, absolutely not.
Not to quote Jim Benning, but aren't you kind of living day-to-day, game-to-game? Like, you're just trying to win the next one?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course you are. No.
But you...
I'm not talking about this as a preserve Lankinen for... No, you are. You are living day to day. What are you talking about? Of course you are.
Yeah, yeah. But you also have to,
You should always be living... Also, you should always... If Travis Green...
As a life philosophy, or...
As an NHL coach, your job is to live day to day, for the most part. I mean, there's some... like future planning, but like certainly at this point in the season when you're playing for your playoff life, yeah, this is day-to-day season for sure. I'm not criticizing this from the perspective of the Canucks need to like preserve Lankinen's like his level of rest for the playoffs. That's not the conversation. The conversation is, given that they do not trust Artur Shilov very clearly, given that Artur Shilov has won 2 of his 9 starts with both of his wins coming against the Chicago Blackhawks this season, okay? Given that he was shaky on Saturday,
a very uncomfortable performance from Shilov on Saturday.
They were up 2-0, and he had a unforced puck over glass error.
Yeah.
Like, against a better team than Chicago, you're in trouble with that Shilov's performance.
Yeah, and that's why I even look at the Islanders game, and I'm like, man, I don't even think you can start him there. Like, you're just in a position now where it's not even a criticism of the coaching staff or anything.
No, it's just
where you are.
Well, for sure. And... what can we expect, right? Like, the truth is that across a growing subset of games here, right? Like, I don't know. What's the fairest delineation point? Why don't we pick post-JT Miller trade announcement? So we won't even count the Stars game. That's a 16-game stretch, okay? Canucks at 5-on-5 have had 9-1-3 goaltending in that stretch. 0.913 save percentage goaltending. Not bad, but average.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go since the Four Nations faceoff, because remember, in addition to this, Lankinen played games at the Four Nations faceoff. If we go since then, the Canucks goaltending has been like problematic. Like 895 goaltending. That's 25th best in the league over
since
that stretch.
Four Nations?
Since 12 games since the Four Nations tournament. It's a major reason why they've been outscored 5-on-5. Now, this team has been able to stay afloat, relatively speaking. I mean, what, 10 points in 12 games? That's not staying afloat necessarily, but it's...
You're not fully drowning. You're just kind of gasping for air a little
They're losing ground, but slowly enough that they still have some opportunity to get it back on track. I think that's like the best way to say it. It's like they haven't they've harmed themselves, but they haven't, it hasn't been fatal.
Yeah.
With their team level performance. And they've relied on, like, do you know how good the penalty kill's been over this stretch?
Mm-hmm. It's been awesome.
Insanely.
For a while, I think it was over, well, obviously over a month, but you have the Four Nations break in there, but there was only one penalty kill or one power play goal against since the JT Miller trade.
Right.
For a long time. There,
and I think that's higher now. It's up to three.
Yeah.
I think it's three since the Four Nations faceoff, or maybe it's since the JT. Yeah, three since the Four Nations faceoff, but they've scored a shorthanded goal. Right. So their kill rate is 92.1% over this stretch. And that actually undersells how good they've been because they're really only minus two goal differential. Meanwhile, the power play, as frustrating as it's been to watch, plus nine. 10 goals for, one goal against, 21% conversion rate. Even though the power play hasn't been good, it doesn't need to be great if you're killing penalties like this.
Yeah.
By the way, shout out to Pew Suter, Derek Forbert, and Teddy Bluger.
I love Derek Forbert, man. He is so underrated.
I'm with you. In the 12-game stretch we're talking about, Bluger, Suter, and Forbert are the three ice time leaders for the Canucks shorthanded. Not a single shorthanded goal against.
Yeah.
Derek Forbert's actually plus one on the PK.
I love it.
Since the Four Nations break. Like, those guys, honestly, like, very, very much like Lamico, Mott, Highmore vibes.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm serious. They have quietly, unheralded, kept this team above water.
Yuho Lamico mention. I love it. Yeah, no, they have. They definitely have. And the, like, you notice it too when you see the, like, Bluger-Suter combination come out. It's just so clearly, like, there's a comfort level there.
Oh, teams can't even enter the zone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, teams aren't even getting set up. They're only giving away, like, 82 shot attempts an hour. They are only permitting 2.5 goals against per hour shorthanded since the Four Nations faceoff. The next best team shorthanded is allowing goals against at almost double the rate, 4.5. That's the Florida Panthers. Like, they've been spectacular. So the PK is carrying this team. And I would argue carrying in some ways the goaltenders. Like, Vancouver's save percentage shorthanded is higher by a lot, like 945 shorthanded than it is 5-on-5. Right? Mm-hmm. The way that the Canucks are trending right now, goaltending for me is like a big concern. They need enough saves. And if they're going to get enough saves, getting Demko back into the rotation, having multiple goalies you trust so that you're not riding Lankanen into the ground is crucial. And it's not that they have another option. This is not criticizing Rick Tocchet by any means. I don't think you can play Artur Shelovs in high leverage games right now. I'd be tempted to do it against the Islanders, though, because if this team's going to make it, they're going to need Lankanen to be the Lankanen that they had earlier in the season. If they're getting the Lankanen that they've had since the Four Nations faceoff, if they're getting goaltending performances like they've had since the Four Nations faceoff, I don't know that this team has enough offensive juice to sort of outkick middling or worse or below average goaltending performances at 5-on-5.
Yeah.
Like, if that's not better, they're cooked. Period.
And one thing Rick Tocchet said today as well, speaking to Jamie Dodd and Jason Bruff on the morning show, was we're a team that doesn't give up a lot of shots. Not sure we're a team that can open it up. So he's highlighting, like, hey, they're very aware of the style of game they need to play. Obviously, it can be frustrating for some Canucks fans, and a lot of Canucks fans are voicing that frustration. We can get into that more as the show goes on. But there is an element of leaning into your defense and leaning into, okay, you just got to do whatever you can to make things slightly easier for Kevin Lankanen and hopefully Thatcher Demko by the end of the season, and then hope that you can score enough to just win games 2-1, 3-2, whatever it is. That's going to be the strategy for the Canucks for the rest of the season and into the playoffs if they end up making it, because obviously there's no clear offensive help coming. It is Canucks talk. Josh Elliott, Wolf, Thomas Drance. We did get a text, 650, 650, unsigned. We are not glossing over that voice crack. Had a bad voice crack.
You? Me?
Me. No, I didn't. Oh, good. I did. I'm glad you didn't notice. Dom and Lena definitely noticed. They definitely did. But anyway, we'll highlight it. I'll move on. I'll be better in the future. I'll learn from it, and I'll grow.
It will be replayed.
Okay. It will be. I will not learn from it or grow. 650, 650, Dunbar Lumber text line. Keep the texts coming in. Special announcement on the other side. But also, before we go, did want to remind you, today is the 35th annual Canucks for Kids telethon for tonight's Canucks and Jets game. They do a lot of great work, raise critical funds to support children's health and wellness, education, and grassroots hockey across BC. Last year's telethon raised over $800,000. That set a record for the Canucks for Kids Fund and its beneficiaries. So if you want to donate, you can. The telethon is now live. Go to canucks.com/telethon. And by the way, if you're going to the game, there are donation stations available throughout Rogers Arena. It is Canucks talk. Josh Elliott, Wolf, Thomas Drance. Special announcement on the other side. Sportsnet 650.
Yeah, of course you are. No,
but you.
I'm.
Oh. Hurry! Just because I get minimum wage doesn't mean my time's not valuable. What? I'm out of here.
Welcome back to Canucks Talk. Josh Elliott, Wolf, Thomas Drance here with you.
Yeah.
Coming to you live from the Kintech studio. You can text in on the 650-650 Dunbar Lumber text line. Kintech studio, by the way, I need to find a read. We're broadcasting live from the Kintech studio. Kintech footwear and orthotics working together with you.
In step.
We were so close there. I pointed at you and then I didn't say it. So that's on me, though. I've been teasing it for an hour now. The better part of an hour, a special Sportsnet 650 related announcement. We had a text from Chef Swagger when I first said there would be an announcement, and Chef Swagger said, if this announcement is accompanied by good riddance, I'm going to lose it. It's not. Don't worry, Chef Swagger. It's okay. But Dom did tell me in the break that he wanted to do the announcement, so I will throw to Dom. Take it away.
It's time!
No.
Never mind.
What?
Never mind. We're not. That's not it. It's definitely not that.
I thought Password was coming back. People show.
No. That would be horrible.
245.
I would never promote it. I would never let that happen.
Oh, this is news to me. What?
So.
What's your announcement?
The actual announcement I threw to you, I had such high hopes.
Wait, what's going on?
And then you passworded it. The actual announcement, I've tweeted it out, at Elliott Wolf J. Starting on Monday, a new show on Sportsnet 650, Canucks Brunch.
Whoa!
With myself and producer Lena Sahtagian.
Tom, you love brunch, don't you?
I'm
a big brunch guy. Are you a part of this?
I'm not a part of this.
Oh, this is shocking.
Yeah, no.
Maybe a guest appearance, maybe a crossover segment.
I will say half the responses to the
always
tweets
happy to help
are just
people saying Thomas loves brunch.
Yeah, people making the link between Thomas and brunch.
I'm going to make the obvious joke here and just be like, another show with Canucks in the title on Sportsnet.
Hey, you know what? So here's what I will say. Because you've been making this joke for a bit now. This has been in the works for a minute.
Real creative, Josh.
Yes. We start March 24th, obviously, in the heat of a playoff push for the Vancouver Canucks. And we will continue through the postseason. And then in the summer, it's going to go away. And we'll see what happens next year.
Let's hope for a long stretch in the playoffs.
Exactly. Drance, you mentioned June. Now I'm very on board with June. Let's get to June. I'd be open to it. Lena, I'm pumped, though. I'm looking forward to Monday.
And boy, do we have good segments.
Oh, we got segments. We got segments aplenty.
Segments on segments?
Yeah.
Since we're producers, naturally.
Yeah, exactly.
All of our wacky segment ideas that don't follow through with the other shows we produce for.
Yes.
We actually get to do it now.
Yeah, this whole show is just going to be us throwing stuff at a wall and then being like, you know what? Didn't stick. And that's okay.
So what you're saying is...
No, okay. So, but not password. But okay. Not password. I love that you still have the music.
I will always have the music.
Yeah.
Nice logo, by the way.
Thank you.
You want to explain that one to the people?
It's a brunch.
Do you ever actually get the waffles?
Yeah.
At a Waffle House? First of all, it's the Waffle House logo.
Especially if you go to Waffle House, you're getting hash browns with like cheese and the ham, the dirty style.
Yeah.
At Waffle House especially, I'm not eating waffles.
Look at him.
Dude.
He's a...
Why are you not getting waffles? What
brunch connoisseur. Go off, King.
It's Waffle House. You don't get waffles at Waffle House.
You 100% do get. This is a bad day.
I go to IHOP, I get pancakes.
What?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, don't go to... I'm sorry. I'm not going to... Please sponsor brunch places. If you don't want to be besmirched, you best sponsor us.
Yeah.
No. You don't get waffles at Waffle House. You get eggs. I never want something sweet for brunch.
Honestly, you've never had chicken and waffles before?
I'm a big chicken and waffles.
I love chicken waffles, but that's not sweet. That's chicken.
What are you talking? It's slathered in maple syrup.
Yeah,
and hot sauce.
There's a whole sweet aspect.
Only sweet because I also add. Spicy. Yeah.
Right.
It's like hot and sweet. It's like...
Oh, the Chinese soup? Yeah.
Exactly. It's like hot... Well, that's hot and sour, but yeah. It's like that.
Yeah. So, I'm a big sweet... I have a sweet tooth, though, so that plays a part.
See, the only time I'll ever eat waffles or pancakes is if they come with chicken or eggs. I like pancakes and eggs together, I will say. Or...
This is not the premise of the show, by the way.
Or if someone does a real baller move... My favorite move is when someone orders table waffles.
What are table waffles?
I get it. That's a good move.
Table waffles are a shared order.
A stack of waffles.
So that everyone can have a taste without having
family
to commit
style.
To eating a sweet brunch when everyone wants savory for brunch.
It's like a quarter of a waffle per person.
Should we draft brunch places?
Probably not places.
Unless, hey, we're open to brunch sponsorships. I'm clearly associated closely with brunch, and now so is producer Lena and Josh. So
you know what? We're open to any sponsorships.
That's true, but especially brunch ones.
I've just been told I'm producing this program. So
you are. You? Yeah. Well, three days a week, the normal Dom schedule.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hard at work or hard?
Sorry, I got 32 the other 2 days.
Oh,
bud.
And you never bring it up.
Nope.
Never bring it up, do you, Dom?
I have no idea when Dom's going to be in the office when I come in.
Monday to Wednesday,
it's just
buddy.
Monday to Wednesday.
Sure, whatever.
Sometimes.
But yeah, looking forward to it.
Dom's schedule is so irregular. It's not the same 3 days every week, I promise you.
Definitely is.
I need Metamucil, is what you're saying?
Yeah. Not what I'm saying. Although I'm glad that you brought this back to the vein of brunch. Hey, congratulations, Josh. Congratulations, Lena. We're all excited to see what you do with Canucks brunch. My lawsuit is pending, however.
Yeah. No, that's understandable. That's understandable. When we picked the name, I was like, we're going to have a talk with Trance about this.
Can't wait for Canucks Talk to implement a brunch feature in their show.
Yeah. A better Canucks.
We'll have to do a hit
bruncher.
With Drance once a week.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Where it's only brunch related.
My thought, we're leading up to this. I was like, man, the Canucks need to just stay in the race, please, to give us something to talk about. But my thought was, if they don't, we'll just talk about brunch for an hour.
Tankathon.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys will be fine.
Yeah, we'll just talk about it.
It's easy to talk about the team when it's bad.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's harder when the team is...
For you, maybe.
You run out of confidence.
Because you're so negative.
You did walk into that one. You walked into that one.
Why are you acting like that was a joke? You just like said a fact. You're like, yeah. Your name's Dom. Okay, man.
Gotcha.
I like brunch. You guys will be fine. You guys will be fine.
Yeah.
The good thing about brunch, too, is it's like, not a necessary meal. It's optional.
No, it's an amalgamation of two meals, right?
That's not true.
What?
It obviously brunch.
I mean, breakfast, lunch.
Etymologically, it is, but in terms of how we treat it, it's not necessary. It's like, it's just giant breakfast on weekend.
If I'm having brunch, I'm skipping lunch.
No, well, it depends on what you have, when you have it.
Agreed, for the most part, but also I'm maybe eating a sandwich at 3 p.m.
That's what I'm saying. Brunch will like throw off my schedule. For sure. In a positive way. Like, I'll eat early in the morning, have brunch, and then a mini lunch at 3-ish, and then dinner.
It's the slogan of the show.
Yeah.
Canucks brunch. We're throwing off your schedule.
In a positive way.
Do you consider dim sum to be brunch?
I've never had it.
No.
No, I wouldn't say so either.
Really?
Yeah.
What would you consider dim sum to be, Lena?
Lunch.
Yeah, lunch.
Wow, I would consider it to be brunch.
Brunch needs to have like a full breakfast aspect to me.
I feel like egg has to be included.
What? No, I disagree. I think dim sum is the definition of brunch because I'm definitely not eating lunch or breakfast if I eat dim sum. In fact, yeah, I'm probably not eating dinner.
But at that point to me it's just like a substitute. Anyway. So yeah, that starts next week, starts on Monday, and once again we'll at least be with you through when the Canucks are in the playoffs, out of the playoffs, and then we'll see what happens. After 11 a.m. to noon every day, Lena will still be on this show producing the show. I will still be producing Canuck Central.
Wow, sorry, it's a weekday show.
It's a weekday show.
You're having brunch on weekdays.
Monday to Friday.
Wow, it's dangerous. That's basically like, what are you going to have like 11s too? Are you guys pobbits eating brunch on a weekday? My God.
Every day too.
By the way,
that's the dream.
Thomas, just wait until we secure a brunch sponsorship, and then this show will be on location Monday to Friday. With a full bevy of food.
I don't know. I don't know if we have that budget. I don't know if that's in the cards.
I think it is. I think there are plenty of brunch spots clamoring for two producers to live show from their location.
I absolutely do not want to hear Dom do his German accent while saying the word pannekoeken.
That's Dutch, not German.
I know, but your German accent would be funny saying the word pannekoeken.
You should do it.
No.
Okay. All right. Try to get.
I am not a monkey. Don't dance monkey me.
We tried. Anyway, okay, so let's get back on track. Canucks taking on the Winnipeg Jets tonight at Rogers Arena.
Pannekoeken.
Thank you.
There it is.
I appreciate it.
I did have a question for you.
Okay.
When you tier, power rank, whatever you want to call, teams that are clearly in the playoffs in the Western Conference.
Okay.
Where do the Winnipeg Jets fall?
Oh, I think they're the best team in hockey.
Really?
Yeah, and we had a good text in actually talking about how their 5-on-5 numbers are only okay, and they've got this massive sort of shooting percentage and save percentage bender. But here's the thing about having a giant save percentage when you employ Connor Hellebuyck. That's not an unsustainable save percentage. Connor Hellebuyck just is 0.02 better than, or 0.20 better than everybody else. 0.020 better than everybody else. And so I don't see that as being remotely unsustainable. The Winnipeg Jets have also led so frequently this season that it's pretty hard for me to suggest that, you know, that like their overall 5-on-5 profile is reflective of, or not reflective of, just how good they are. Like, as an example, over the course of this regular season to this point, the Winnipeg Jets have spent 80 more minutes in the lead than any other team. Tampa Bay Lightning are second, right? That's why their numbers look a certain way. They've been out-attempted by 200 while leading. Yeah, okay. So that's the whole ballgame for the Winnipeg Jets, right? That's why their numbers look mid-table. You know, when they're trailing, they profile the way you'd hope a team to profile. Their special teams are perfect. Their depth is incredible. And they basically don't lose with Dylan Sandberg in the lineup because he gave them an additional top four defenseman. Now, one thing to watch is Neil Pionk back tonight? I don't think so, right?
Not that I've seen.
So Pionk not being back tonight means old pal Luke Shen will play on a pair with Dylan Sandberg. And that sort of put Sandberg, who's been a breakout star for the Jets, in a totally different role, like one where he's more counted on to make things happen and drive. And as opposed to playing off Pionk, who's a talented offensive defenseman in his own respect. And so I think what you're sort of getting to is something we've kind of seen with like Hronek with Hughes versus without Hughes, the idea of deferring versus being a little bit more assertive on your own pair. Playing with Luke Shen, I think, unlocked sort of a different level. More shots, more aggressive offensive mindset, elevating himself in sort of his own decision-making tree, as Quinn Hughes would put it. And I think that's been working really well for the Jets. that dynamic, the depth on the back end, Sandberg's emergence as like a killer top four guy and maybe better than that, I think has really given them an extra gear. Put it together with their forward depth, what they can do on both sides of special teams, Cole Perfetti's chemistry with Nick Ehlers, right? Nemesnikov's a bit of a dog on that line. Like, that's worked, even though I think in my mind's eye, I'd prefer a sort of higher level option there. You've got Lowry, who's missed large segments of the season, and Appleton. Everyone knows how I feel about him in this sort of middle six, more defensive role. And then you've got, you know, Kapari, Iafallo, just like guys with the potential to break games when you really get bogged down sort of on the fourth line. I mean, they're flawless. Like, I don't understand. Actually, I think the most interesting discussion to have from a Winnipeg Jets perspective, and it sort of dovetails with what we're seeing from the Washington Capitals as well, is this idea that, like, truly the Jets have done this while not rebuilding at all, right? Mm-hmm. In fact, they bought really hard in 2018, right? But for the most part, like, they've held fast to their first round picks. They've only picked in the top 10 once since selecting Patrick Laine in 2016, right? Like, this team has been built patiently, durably. How many of their own guys did they draft? Like, this is the team that has most constructed itself through the draft, I think, in probably the entire NHL, because they can't really get free agents.
Yeah, it's out of necessity.
They traded for Iafallo, Vilardi, and Kupari. That was the PLD trade.
Yeah.
Right? Mason Appleton was drafted by them. They lost him in expansion. Then they traded for him back at a song when he didn't really work out for the Seattle Kraken. And they traded for Nino Niederreiter to, like, trap him because he had term remaining on his deal. And then he turned out to like it in Winnipeg and stayed. But Scheifele, Connor, Ehlers, Hellebuck, Morrissey, right? Sandberg are all drafted by this Jets team. And slowly over time, they've just kind of been really disciplined about accumulating talent. And with guys like Chaz Lucius, you know, Colby Barlow, like, they have more stuff coming. They have more talent coming. This is as sustainable a model as you'll find. And yet this is kind of the first season that it's ticked, that it's like really all hit, in part because of how Sandberg and Perfetti, I think, have leveled up. That, I think, added a lot to them. And you're sort of seeing with this Caps team that's poised to win the Eastern Conference, right? Like, both division winners are going to be absolute retool templates. And if, for example, we get to the Cup final and those are the two teams there, I mean, that's going to be really the first time in a long time that you couldn't pretty much trace a direct straight line between
rebuild to Cup.
Yeah. You know, like, at least a 5-year stretch where you picked in the top 10 three or four times, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, for the most part, every other team, like, Tampa Bay had the Stamkos Hedman years. You know what I mean? Like, Drouin, who Bigetch, Sergachev, on and on. The St. Louis Blues had that massive stretch, you know, where they picked Pietrangelo and on. Capitals, obviously, Alzner, Backstrom, Ovechkin stem from a rebuilding stretch. Like, it's pretty hard to find a Cup winner aside from Vegas, who obviously is a totally out of left field example because of the expansion draft, that would have been like a true retooler, a truly successful retool. But I think that's what you're seeing in this Jets team that I think is pretty interesting, with interesting implications from a team building or roster construction standpoint.
And they are obviously unique just because they're Winnipeg, right? Like, nobody wants to go to Winnipeg. It's hard to get people to go to play for the Winnipeg Jets. And so out of necessity, you have to be a team that drafts well. You have to be a team that is smart about what you're doing, and accumulating assets, trading for guys with term, all of that. They've done a very good job of it. And you outlined a bunch of reasons why they could be a team that, you know, goes on a deep run and deserves to be the best team in the NHL right now. For whatever reason, I still think if they play the Stars or the Avalanche in the playoffs, at some point, they lose. And I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just my bias because I believe in the Stars and Avs a little bit more, especially for Colorado on the high end. But I don't know. Colorado's sick.
Colorado's, the way that team has redesigned itself in midstream, they are looking fabulous. Like, yeah. Really, really good. One thing I'd note about the Jets, like, one concern I suppose I have is I do think their team speed leaves a little bit to be desired. Ehlers, obviously, and Connor are elite skaters, but team speed-wise, they don't have a ton of burners up and down the lineup, certainly not like Colorado does. And, you know, we saw it in the playoffs last year where Colorado was really able to storm them with that team speed and really get to Connor Hellebuck with it. So that's sort of notable, I think, because while Winnipeg is, in my opinion, the best team in hockey, and I think is pretty well constructed to pick apart the defensive identity that this Canucks team has found. Like, I think this is a bad matchup for the Canucks. But the things that I'm more focused on are, like, how does Vancouver handle Winnipeg's significant depth advantage? Can Kevin Lankinen, who's been a little bit beatable on deflections and tips and traffic in front, handle Gabe Vilardi, who is the best at it in the league right now, right? Like, those are sort of my... Whereas with Utah early over the weekend, it was like, can the Canucks handle their team speed? And the answer was no. Mm-hmm. Utah profiles differently than Winnipeg in that respect. Like, Winnipeg, I think, anyway, doesn't quite have the same team speed gear, which we've seen give the Canucks the most trouble.
Yeah.
Right? Over the course of the season. And by the way, that's one sort of thing to watch too, if Utah does make it, right? I do think that they profile like the sort of team that actually can give Winnipeg a pretty tough go because of their team speed and the sort of mismatch in that respect.
It'd be interesting.
I think Winnipeg's getting out of the first round. I think they put those the yips of previous years behind them, and I want to see Connor Hellebuck win some big games.
And
this
then
spring,
the benefit too would be they get to play the beat up version of the Stars or Avalanche after they beat up on each other in the first round.
And news out of Dallas that Miro Heiskanen not guaranteed to be available for the first round, which would be a huge swing in Colorado's favor.
Would be a very tough blow. Appreciate everyone texting in on the 650-650 Dunbar Lumber text line, including the congrats messages to Lena and I. Again, Canucks brunch starts on Monday.
Congratulatory.
Love there brunch. It is. Yeah, there it is.
Lots of segment ideas.
Yeah, a lot of smart, good ideas on the text box. Appreciate those. We'll filter through them. We'll consider some of them. We'll throw them in the idea chart.
What do you mean? We'll consider all of them.
Well, we'll consider some of them. Not that one. See, this
except
is what I mean.
Except that one.
This
Thank
is
you.
What I mean. This is what I mean.
Give the people what they want.
I don't know if they want that. Before we go, also, did want to mention one last time. It is the 35th annual Canucks for Kids Fund Telethon. You can donate. Go to Canucks.com/telethon. Donate what you can, if you can. And also, if you're going to the game, donation stations available at Rogers Arena tonight when the Canucks take on the Winnipeg Jets. Thank you to everyone texting in, everyone listening. Shout out to Lena. Shout out to Dom producing the show. Thank you to Thomas Drance, my co-host. I'm Josh Elliott Wolf. Back tomorrow with a crossover. My first crossover ever. I'm nervous. I'm excited. Looking forward to it. That's tomorrow on Canucks Talk on Sportsnet 650.